Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comic Natasha Pearl Hansen talks about planning for her wedding and then the day turning into her comedy special.
There's no way we're going to get married in June. There's just no way. We haven't even started planning anything yet. It's like 6 months away. Nobody has saved the dates. My poor bridesmaids and groomsmen, like nobody knows what's going on. And we had already changed the date a couple times. Come February and March, I started hem-hawing around about the idea of shooting a comedy special on my wedding day because I knew I couldn't move the space date again. And I knew I was going to have this space and it's locked in the books and I had to pay for it and then I was paying for the dinner and everything.
Today on the show, comedian Natasha Pearl Hansen talks about her wedding day, which turned into her comedy special. Stay close.
Hey, it's Natasha Pearl Hansen and you're listening to Storyworthy.
My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. By the way, Natasha, this is the second show I've done in my 10th year, as it were, because I'm celebrating my 9 years of podcasting now in July.
Oh, my gosh.
The first show went up July 10th, of 2010. And since then, 9 years straight, never missed a week. And so I can officially say now I'm in my 10th year.
That's crazy. So, and that's amazing. Yeah. You definitely beat you beat the wave of podcasting.
in a way, but it's like a good and bad thing. I mean, obviously it's good because I was able to get an audience earlier on. Because now it's exploded so much.
But it's so saturated now.
Anyway, I enjoy it no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think my listeners do too.
I think I remember meeting you like 4 years ago when my grandma was visiting.
Really?
On Sam Tripoli's podcast.
Oh yeah, maybe.
At the Playboy Radio.
Oh yes, I did. That's
I
right.
I met you there and I had my grandma with. Remember? She was
so
visiting
funny.
Me.
She was so funny.
Isn't she
you
great?
You were on after me. It was me and somebody else. It was Playboy Radio.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And that was the first time I had met you and I knew of your name. And so then you just, you know how
so
time
funny.
Just goes. You keep recurring
good
in somebody's.
Memory.
Yeah,
good
I have a
memory.
Pretty good photographic memory.
Well, listen, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the show last week with sex expert Dr. Emily Morris and her story, Sex on the Beach. Have you had sex on the beach, Natasha?
I've tried once. Yeah. I didn't find it to be like that pleasant.
It's just like the fantasy, the hot tub sex or the shower sex.
Yeah.
It's never quite what you...
It's not as clean as you would hope.
No, except I will say this. Emily Morris, her story... Super hot, super heavy, because he happened to also be a masseuse. So that's part of it.
See, that's different.
It was really romantic.
Yeah.
And he like brought a tent and he brought like to the beach and like a table. So they weren't in the sand. He had a massage table.
Oh
you
my
see
God.
What I'm
this
saying.
Sounds like one of my jokes.
Because really?
That's what my, well, we'll get to this eventually, but my fiance watches romantic porn.
Oh, okay.
That has like couples, like, doing massage like that.
Well, that sounds, that is so romantic.
And so like what you're describing is what I have seen in like one of these rom-com, like softcore.
Well, listen to Emily Morris's story today, you guys, because it is super sexy and steamy. And Emily talks a lot about sex because that's her whole thing on Sirius XM, her show Sex with Emily. And I actually learned something from Emily. Every time I talk to her, I learn a little bit about sex.
I love that.
I thought I knew everything. That's what I'm saying. You can just keep learning. Anyway, you guys, go back, listen to Dr. Emily, but not today, because today I'm here with comedian Natasha Pearl Hansen, and she brings forth the topic, I was supposed to get married today. I was supposed to get married today. So right off the bat, I love this topic, because it means that in my head, I don't know your story, but I'm thinking you didn't get married, and I think that a lot of people have these epiphanies while they're engaged.
Yes.
And they don't break it off because they feel like it's too hard to break it off. It's easier to just go through with it.
It's so layered, I feel like a lot of people do things out of obligation or because there's an event planned and they don't want to let people down. And, I'll get into why I ended up doing what I did with my wedding day. But, in my opinion, we need to take that pressure off ourselves as women to feel like we have to do anything by any point.
Yeah.
If it doesn't feel like the right timing in your gut, Just don't do it.
I remember that. I remember that because I have four older sisters, and three of them got married when they were 27. And so that stuck in my head. Or when they were 25, and it stuck in my head.
25.
You got it? So I did. So I did. You know, it lasted a year and a half.
Yep.
And then I did the same thing, sort of, when I moved to Los Angeles. I put a lot of pressure on my boyfriend saying, like, look, before I'm 35, I really want to be married again. Like, I said that to him. Or when I'm I remember saying, like, how stupid, that kind of pressure. So we did. So we got married.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted 11 years.
Yeah.
And we have my daughter. So that's fine. But we're just, I mean, we're friends. We were friends before we got married, and we're still friends. I don't know. It was like in my head that I needed that label.
Yeah. And I feel like that's why the, you know, divorce rates are so high, because people just feel like this innate obligation to hit these markers by a certain age. Yeah. And it's all just made up.
Have a baby by a certain age. It's just made up. Do this by a certain age. It really is. And like, I know from my own experience, you know, I didn't have my child till I was 41.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that because I had so much time.
You lived.
A big time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, now I'm still living, and it's really a joy watching her grow and all that. But I'm just saying I think it's thoughtful to wait for certain things in life. And if you need to have a big party and wear a certain dress and pick out, you know, food and colors, you can do that.
Sure.
Without saying it's a wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
Just say, I'm throwing a kick-ass party.
It's, pretty much exactly what I chose to do in a way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I'm anxious to hear this.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have children, right?
No, I don't have children. And it's, you know, in recent stand-up of mine, I definitely talk about the pressures of my, like, gynecologist to freeze my eggs and stuff, because she's been putting that pressure on me for, like, 5-6 years now.
Oh, my gosh. I've never heard of something like that.
Yeah. No, she brings it up all the time about freezing my eggs, and she...
Nuh-uh.
Yes, she does.
What did she say? What are the words?
She's been telling me since I was 27 to freeze my eggs, that my eggs might not be good until, you know, through... And
that seems extreme.
And I talked about this on stage on my Europe tour with Rachel.
Yeah.
And people were looking at me like, what? And I addressed one of the audiences in Berlin, and I was like, do doctors here not tell women to freeze their eggs? And they were like, no. And so I went into this whole thing about like what they say to us, and they were like shocked. They were like,
I never heard that,
crap.
Though. I never heard that. And I never had a gynecologist say that.
It must be like a new wave of things
Maybe
that they're trying
is.
To do. Like they're trying to, because I have, my mom never got that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, my friends that have already had kids never really got that kind of pressure. I think it's like a new thing that's been happening in the last couple of years,
Or your gynecologist is a little...
wonky?
I don't know.
She's in my network. That's why I say I deal with her.
Well, I'll tell you, it is fun to have children, but boy, you got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, my girl is 12, and we have so much fun doing things together. I mean, not only like watching TV or going out to get ice cream or something, but we've been doing something. It's called a KiwiCo box. Have you heard of these?
No.
KiwiCo. It's super cool, hands-on projects for kids about STEAM. You know what STEAM is?
Mm-mm.
So you don't have kids, so you don't know this. But STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. So these boxes come each month. It's like a subscription box. It is a subscription box. I mean, you know, you've heard of them, like food boxes and wellness boxes. But mm-hmm. these are subscription boxes for kids that are fun and educational, and it helps them develop this creative confidence. I'll tell you, it's super fun because you sit down and you do it with your kid. Now, Alabama, she's 12. So we got the Tinker Crate. It's called the Tinker Crate. It's for kids 9 to 16.
That's so cool.
It's so fun. And it helps these little kids discover and learn about science. And it's in a fun way. So like Alabama and I made this little bird. You see it across the room there.
Yeah.
That bird. And you turn the gears and it moves. And we just laughed and had a great time doing it. Anyway, so I am thrilled with KiwiCo. If you know any children, Natasha, consider getting them a KiwiCo subscription box. I'm telling you, it is super, super fun. And as a parent, you guys out there that are parents, I know you're super busy. I know you're always on the go, and it's hard to go grocery shopping and work and feed your family and go to soccer practice and pick her up at dance and all these things we do. It's hard to get that quality time together. But if you order this KiwiCo box, I'm telling you, you're going to be thrilled. Work together with your child to create an engaging and exciting project.
That sounds like an amazing gift for one of my best friends.
It's super fun.
Her daughter is so smart.
Everything is in the box. Everything is very, very, it's described really well. The pictures are, you know, right there with you every step of the way. And they give you a little magazine with it. And anyway, it's just great. So you guys, right now, for my listeners, if you go to kiwico.com/storyworthy, you will get your first month free. That's right. kiwico.com/storyworthy, you'll get your first month free. I'm going to spell it because I'm a giver. KiwiCo is KIWICO.com/storyworthy, you guys. You'll get your first month free. Natasha, I just gave you a great idea, didn't I?
Yes, that's a great gift. I'm totally going
to
do that.
I'm a giver. Hey, you know what else I wanted to tell you is I was listening to your podcast, Future Role Model, and tell me what you mean about that, future role model. I mean, I hear you, but what are you saying?
So I have this overall brand that I've been building for the last few years because I'm a big advocate for owning your mistakes and being open about them. I feel like we're in this world where everything's so washed with Instagram and everything's so filtered. Everything's a highlight reel, and highlight reels are fine. Like you should, you know, you should look at life positively, and there should be good things that you showcase instead of like the Debbie Downers on Facebook. Those are annoying. But we also should be okay with the fact that none of us really know what we're doing ever.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. So yeah.
I started
writing these thought books when I was 14 that were like little quips and funny things and like screwed up stories that I would do or things that would happen with me and my friends. And it was before Instagram was around. So instead of being able to freeze a moment and get it on video, I would like Zach Morris freeze the moment verbally and write down exactly what was happening.
What does that mean, Zach Morris?
It's the thing from Saved by the Bell. He would hit, he would go like time out and freeze everything. It was just a weird gimmicky thing.
I forgot. Okay.
So that was my first form of recording things, and it got me into eventually doing stand-up and storytelling and all that stuff. And so I want to eventually release these volumes of books that I created over the years.
Yeah.
And I had thought of a name years ago, Future Role Model, just to show how I had messed up and all the crazy things I had done with friends and some partying
or just bad mistakes
or funny things that came of it. And show how I still progressed into this great human being, even though I've made tons of mistakes. Like,
it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
But it's very, very in the moment. Because I was listening to your show, and just on the last show you did, you were talking about, like, it's almost like a Buddhist mentality. Like, just try to be happy where you are. Because it's very hard in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We're struggling, and it's difficult to make a dollar. And then the proliferation of podcasts and, you know, these celebrities are, you know, they're switching their medium and they're
well, and everybody wants to be a celebrity and they don't know why. I mean, there's so many people that are aching for this credential without something to back it up, whether it be
it depends on what where your talents are. I mean, like, I always just want to do fruitful labor. I say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to do what I do well and I want to get paid for that. That's, that's what I want.
Same. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
And it could be anything.
Yep.
I just happened to choose, and you chose a very hard field.
Yeah, we did.
Listen, you were just on the road with my partner, Rachel O'Brien, from Screwed Up Stories, and you guys went all over Europe. I was so proud of you, by the way.
Thank you.
I was like cheering you on the whole time. And
we
the
put that whole thing together ourselves.
You did a great job. You really did. I mean, I backpacked across Europe a couple of times, but it was always just vacationing. I didn't have to have any forethought. I didn't have to book anything in advance. It must be somewhat easier because of the internet, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it helps to be able to get in touch with venues because I'm really good at booking. I book all my own tours because I just make better deals for myself than other people do for me.
You travel a lot, too. You really work your butt off.
I do. But I love to travel. It makes me alive.
Yeah.
Like, I have so many pockets of friends all over the world.
Yeah.
And to me, being able to step into a new community and be accepted and have somebody who's local to give you an insider scoop and have support there is so special. And so, you know, even I just finished booking a headlining weekend in Minneapolis where I just found my own venue because I went to college there and all my friends there were like, why don't you come to Minneapolis?
Perfect.
And I was like, well, I guess I will.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's hard when theaters don't get back to you and stuff like that, or clubs don't get back to
you.
So it's not easy. It's not like you just call and you get it, because there's a process. I mean, you've got your electronic press kit together. You've got your tools.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole thing.
Kind of like a standard email that I'll send venues and stuff. And then once I connect with a booker, I'll kind of see what their arrangements are. I'll try to whittle it down to something that makes me feel like I'm going to walk away having made the money I need to make.
Right. And you have to consider your flight and the time and the calendar.
And the support that you get from the venue.
Yeah.
If they're going to promote for you at all. If they're not, you know, how much work you're going to have to do. So there's a lot of things that go into it.
It's a hustle.
It's a massive hustle.
when I was watching Joan Rivers' special. I forget which one it was, but it was just now toward the end of her life. I mean, several years ago now, but it was at the end of her life and she was still doing the exact same things. Mm-hmm. I mean, she, you know, filling up her calendar, filling up those dates, and, you know, it's never ending.
But it's good, right?
It's living in the moment. It is.
It really is.
And you deliver. Mm-hmm. So that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen, you guys, before we get to Natasha's story, I wanted to remind you, I don't have to remind you because you know and I know to follow me on social media at Storyworthy. I make that very simple. And, you know, Story Smash is coming back. Not coming back. It's every month at the Hollywood Improv. The next show is July 27th, and it's our two-year anniversary at the Improv. 24 shows in a row, and it's going to be great. So if you haven't seen Story Smash recently, you guys, come down to the Improv if you're in L.A., on July 27th at 7:30 p.m. And if you're not hip to the game, if you're not hip to Story Smash, head over to storysmashshow.com. Would you do that? Storysmashshow.com. It's a great website. I built it. I know that. And check out the show, man. It's a lot of fun. It really is. And also, I would be remiss not to mention my other podcast, like I already did, Screwed Up Stories with Rachel O'Brien. Head over to screwedupstories.com and follow all the good stuff going on over there. And there's a lot of pictures. I'll say that. A lot of pictures on the website. Natasha, you were on that show.
I was.
So there you go. That's where I met you.
Yeah, and this is what's...
I met you before, but that was the official.
Yeah, when we did Screwed Up Stories, that's when I officially got to converse with you.
Yes.
And what's fun is if you listen to that episode of Screwed Up Stories before you listen to this episode or after,
yeah,
that is the prequel to what I'm about to tell today.
Oh, it's a two-parter all of a sudden.
Yeah, I didn't even plan that. But yeah, you got both sides of the story.
I love it. All right, you guys, she's here right now. Natasha Pearl Hansen. By the way, I love your name.
Thank you.
I love your name, Natasha Pearl Hansen. You are, as we know, a nationally touring stand-up comedian and an actress and a content creator. I love those words, content creator, because it's true. It's like we do everything.
Yeah.
And what you're essentially doing is creating something for somebody to... take in.
Always.
Whether it's reading it or watching it or
pitching
listening to it
or creating your own tours and the live version. Yep. Always creating something.
Like we just said, you just finished that very successful tour with Rachel O'Brien. And then you also do these solo tours in the Caribbean. And now I'm remembering the story. Now the Screwed Up Stories, I'm remembering because you're in the Caribbean. That's right. And you also filmed a comedy special recently called I Was Supposed to Get Married, which the story is about today. And it's due out this fall, 2019. And like we were talking about, your podcast, Future Role Model, is super fun. I really, really enjoy it. It really does redefine what it means to be a role model.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really try. I mean, I try to make people feel like it's okay to just live your life.
Yeah, and you're going to fail, and things are going to be
okay.
But man, the whole ride is so short, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's a really, I like that title, Future Role Model. I like it. It's not going to be perfect.
Never.
It's going to be sloppy, but what the heck. You guys can find Natasha over there on Twitter and Instagram at NPH Comedy. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Natasha Pearl Hansen.
Okay, so when I got off your last podcast, Screwed Up Stories,
right.
I did tell the story of my ex that 9 years ago I broke up with. We had met in the Caribbean. So overlapping that relationship with my ex, I had already met my fiancé. My fiancé and I were set up 12 years ago in May of 2007 by my mom's best friend.
Oh.
My mom's best friend was basically my aunt. She was in the delivery room when I was born. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I have friends like that.
Yeah, so she's like family to me. And she moved from Wisconsin to Illinois when I was like 13 and went to the same church as my fiancé Justin's family. And she saw this cute boy across the room and was like, I should really set him up with Natasha. So she had been talking about him forever, but it's so gross when you're 13 and your aunt is like, you should date this boy. I'm like, ew, go, don't talk to me about boys. So cut to, I was 21 years old, just about to turn 22. And I had moved to Chicago for Second City. And he was finishing up school in Chicago. So she sets us up on a blind date. And this was before, you know, photos were really on phones. Like, you know, it was the grainy flip phones. So he's picking me up, and I had used to box dye my hair. And so it was kind of like reddish, orangish blonde. It was just a terrible color. So I remember texting him and being like, my hair is like red orange and I'm on the corner. And I was like, that sounds terrible. He's going to think I'm bozo or something. So he picks me up in his Suburban, and we go on a date at like 3:30 in the afternoon and played darts and pool. And like, we both had excuses of things we had to do in the evening in case it went badly.
Yeah.
Which it did not. It went really well. And so we parted ways for like an hour and a half, and then we met back up and we ended up hooking up the first night, and we kind of hung out for an entire summer, but he was moving to LA that fall, so it wasn't anything serious. So every time he'd be back visiting Chicago, it would almost be like we were dating. We had such a great relationship, and I was never dating anybody. So he would just drop into Chicago and be like, I'm here, and expect me to be available. Well, in that interim, you know, I was in Chicago for like 4 years. The second half of that time, I met my ex, the Caribbean homeless guy. And so listen to the other podcast, you'll hear that whole story.
The title was, I found out my boyfriend was homeless.
Exactly. So there's a lot of layers to that. But when I started dating the homeless guy, Justin hit me up that he was in Chicago. And I hadn't told him I had started dating anybody yet, let alone that this guy was living with me. So I was like, hey, yeah, I'll come and meet you at the bar with your brother. We will be there soon. We will be there at this time. I kept saying we, and he goes, we? Question mark. And so I was like panicking, because I was like, yeah, my long distance lover doesn't know that I've found somebody else. So I show up to this bar, and the two of them.
Well, how did you respond quickly? How did you respond when he said, who's we?
I was just like, oh, I'm coming with Josh. You'll meet him. And, you know, I didn't get any reply. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so show up, and I was like, yeah, this is my boyfriend. And Justin and him immediately did not get along. It was like oil and water. They hated each other. I mean, the guy that I was dating was like, had funny tattoos and like a cat roasting on a spit and like all these things tattooed on him, tacos and like weird crap.
What's that mean?
I don't know. It was just like a weird, he just had funny tattoos. I remember thinking that when I first met him, I was like, these are interesting. And they were kind of scary, but I was like, ah, those are interesting tattoos. I had never met a guy like that.
Yeah.
So he was like a coloring book for an insane person.
yeah.
And, so, and Justin's very refined and polished and handsome and, you know, and so they didn't get along. I ended up fighting with my ex that night because we would fight all the time. And then he left me alone at the bar. So Justin walked me home and was like, you can't be with this guy. He's terrible. He's not right for you. And he got really like upset about it. And he actually showed up to my apartment the next day and like wanted to beat up my boyfriend. And so cut to, you know, I finally break up with this guy, moved to LA.
Break up with the homeless guy.
Break up with the homeless guy.
You can't live with me anymore. You can't live with me. I'm leaving.
I ended up just leaving him. He got us kicked out of one of the apartments that I was in.
Well, how did he do that?
He didn't pay the rent that I gave him.
Oh, God. That I gave is so
him,
bad.
I was bartending and supporting us both. And I gave him my cash. And I was like, go turn this in and pay rent for me. I got to go to work. He didn't. He spent it. And then
did you break up with him immediately when that happened?
No, because I would have been homeless myself, because he was getting me kicked out of my only, like, I had never been evicted before. So
well, but at that point, wouldn't you break up with him and say, I can't be with somebody who just stole from me?
You would think so. But because I just got evicted, I was like, well, I can't get an apartment, so you've got to get one for us. So he put one in his name.
But he was homeless before. Yep. Okay, now he had a job and he could do that.
Well, he put one in his name and had his dad co-sign.
Oh, boy.
And so we moved into a new apartment that I was still paying for, but I wasn't on the lease. He was.
That's good.
So when we finally did break up, I left him with a lease Yeah. And he was stuck paying rent for like 4 months that he couldn't afford, which was like a just enough payback, barely enough payback.
Yeah.
So I moved to LA in 2011. And right before I moved, Justin's brother, who lived in Chicago, met me for a beer over a sporting event. And he was like, you know, Justin kind of broke up with that girl he was kind of seeing for a while off and on. And I know you're broken up with Josh. You're moving to LA. You should, you know, make sure to connect. And so
everybody's trying to set you up.
Yeah. And so I come back out to LA and I'm looking at apartments and I stay with him for a couple days. And I move here and we just hung out every single day and it parlayed into us dating. And we've been together ever since. So we've been together for what is that, 8 years now?
Okay.
But we got engaged 2 years ago. And because we have such a long track record in history, we hit our hard spot when I got engaged to him.
So you got engaged 2 years ago, and then things didn't work out.
Well, I mean, we're still together. We're still trying to work through things.
Oh.
But we got engaged, and all of a sudden, all these things started coming up. Like that we had overlooked for years because it almost felt like we were already married.
Yeah, it was getting too real.
And we were friends with benefits for so long, and then we were dating, and then we were living together. And then, you know, so it was just all these things just kind of piled up. And then, yeah, I got engaged to him, and we started kind of pushing each other further and further apart. And
but
kind
wait, was there a ring and a date? Because you're wearing a ring now.
Yeah, so we had one date set already for June. Or no, it was July 25th was the first date of 2018. Because we got engaged.
Yeah, just last year.
In spring of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up going to Just for Laughs that weekend. And I knew I was going to go to Just for Laughs. And so a couple months before the wedding, I was like, well, we can't get married. I've got to do Just for Laughs.
Just for Laughs in Montreal. Yeah. It's a comedy festival.
Yeah. And so I was pitching something up there. And yeah, and I just didn't want to lose the opportunity to go.
So you changed the date.
Changed the date to June 15th of this year.
The whole another year has to pass. Now what?
Whole another year. The venue was cool with moving it. And in the interim, like last summer, you know, me and his brother have slowly started to like not, I don't know if anyone's ever been through this before, but we started to just really, really not get along because his brother hates, like he's a banker, he's a 9-to-5er, lives in the Midwest, owns a home, and he like hates this career. Mm. He doesn't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, 5-6 years ago, he was totally cool with it because he just thought it was something I was going to outgrow or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, cut to, you know, 12, 14 years deep in this comedy business, he's like, what are you guys doing? You know, what are you
whatever.
Doing? I know. He's just a douche. Folks. So he got kind of involved in our business about a year ago and was like, you know, saying some inappropriate things to me and to kind of meddling in our finances and all that. And it really upset me. And so it kind of caused this big rift in me and Justin's relationship. So we had a really rocky last year in particular, and once January rolled around, I was like, there's no way we're going to get married in June. There's just no way. We haven't even started planning anything yet. It's like 6 months away. Nobody has saved the dates. My poor bridesmaids and groomsmen, like nobody knows what's going on. And we had already changed the date a couple times.
Yeah.
And so come February and March, I started hem-hawing around about the idea of shooting a comedy special on my wedding day because I knew I couldn't move the space date again. And I knew I was going to have this space and it's locked in the books and I had to pay for it. And then I was paying for the dinner and everything. So I emailed the venue and I started the conversation about it. And then while me and Rachel were in Europe, that's when I decided, yes, I have enough material about exactly what I'm going through and I'm just going to do it. So we got back from Europe and I announced it. And
to your fiance, you told him?
I told him, yep. I told him, this is what I'm going to do. Because, you know,
did you already have a dress? I mean, what are the...
I didn't have a dress yet. I was planning to wear a jumpsuit, which I still want to get married in a jumpsuit.
Okay.
Not much of a gown person.
Yeah.
So I had a jumpsuit that I was going to wear.
Yeah.
Which I ended up wearing in my special. So what I ended up doing is I shot a comedy special called I Was Supposed to Get Married Today. I sold tickets on my website for a month. I sold them up to VIP packages. VIP packages were people that got to come and eat dinner with me, the dinner that my guests would have had. So, so I basically did a lot of things in one. This day turned into a live event, me hosting that, like I was actually like a party host. As people started arriving, I was mingling. It was basically everybody that I grew up with, all my fans and friends.
So was it in a theater or is it like...
It was in a... Kind of. It was in like a space, like it's a jazz club. Yeah. Or it used to be a jazz club. So it's a stage with a spiral staircase. And then there's a separate room that's like a big lounge.
So what did your fiancé think? Did he come?
He didn't come. Yeah, it was pretty tough. I actually haven't really seen him in the last month since I shot it. He gets back to LA tomorrow.
None of this sounds healthy, man.
I know. It's crazy. But hey, you know what? It's just my truth right now. It's just what I'm going through.
When did he find out that you were not going to marry him June 15th?
Well, it wasn't like that. I kind of phrase it that way because it's more, you know, fitting to when I do stand up, but it was a mutual thing. Like we both just weren't ready.
So what was the special about?
So I did just all material about the space that I'm in right now and about my relationship and being engaged and being pressured to have kids and about how my grandma and I are very close and she's a widow and like the kind of things that she goes through being widowed and, you know, just relationships in general.
What does she tell you to do?
She just tells me to follow my heart, baby. But yeah, and having kids, like all these different aspects of what I'm going through right now. So so I did the live event, sold it out. It was all, every single person in that room I knew and had a relationship with. Yeah. So it was a very intimate special.
And so did you call it a wedding? Or you did you say I called it, I was supposed to get married.
I was supposed to get married today is the name of the special.
Right.
So
And then you charge the money, though, to go.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, because if it was like a real wedding, they would be coming as guests bringing you presents.
Right.
They didn't bring presents.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
No, and I didn't pose it to anybody as a regular wedding. And so my maid of honor came, one of my bridesmaids came, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, all my friends that I grew up with, they paid tickets. They paid for tickets to come and see because they knew how important of a day it was for me.
Yeah, the title indicates that you didn't get married and that you broke up.
It doesn't indicate we broke up.
Yeah.
But it definitely indicates that we didn't get married, and that's true.
So what's the plan?
I don't know. There's no plan. I mean, that's how I ended my special, just saying I don't know what's going to happen. And
so have you talked to him?
Oh, yeah. We talk every day. Okay. Yeah, yeah. We're trying. I mean, you know, I think relationships get tough, you know, when you get to a place of like 7 or 8 years. And I think they call it.
Yeah, that's a long time. If you don't seal the deal in 7 or 8 years, maybe that deal's not going to be sealed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You know, we don't really have any of those answers.
Do you want that?
Do I want it to end?
I mean, in other words, like you're wearing a ring, you're engaged, or you just... Do you want it to culminate into a wedding or just...
I've thought of this two different ways, and I'm not really sure which way is accurate because we don't have answers until something's already just done. You know what I mean? We don't have answers until we have hindsight.
Yeah.
But there's two ways of looking at this. Either A, you work for something, which I relate to this obviously with my career. You work for something for so many years. Do you just give up on it? Or B, you work for something for so many years and you get to a point where it just isn't working and you're not happy.
Yeah.
Do you just give up on it? Yeah. You know, like you...
It's not giving up. It's moving on.
Moving on. Yeah. And so, you know, that...
Because you're different people in different times of your life. You become different people. You change. Mm-hmm. So why haven't you seen him in a month?
Well, I was away shooting my special. So I was filming and then... and then had some family stuff before that. And then I was performing in Chicago. And then when I was coming back, he was having to go to Minneapolis to film and then go visit his family in Chicago.
Oh, wow. So you guys just crossed paths.
He stuck around for an extra day so that I would be able to see him. I got to see him for like 12 hours in between. So yeah, in the last month, we got like 12 hours. same thing when me and Rachel were in Europe. It was like almost a month then that we were apart as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not that bad because I'm so busy. I'm not really thinking about, you know, anything. Yeah. And my friends keep me busy and shows keep me busy.
Well, you don't need to call it anything. You don't have to call it my fiancé. Just the guy I'm living with, or your friend, your partner.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I mean, doesn't have to be married or not married.
Right,
it's your partner. If he's your life partner, he's your life partner.
Yeah. If it's gonna work out, we have a lot of shit to work through. I mean, that's just a fact. But
tough, man.
We ended the special in such a cool way. Like I don't want to give too much away, but I'm really proud of the way we shot it because it was so intimate, and because I did. You know, I had to take a couple moments in the special itself because I just did one take. Mm-hmm. I didn't do multiple takes like most people do. And I was locking eyes with certain people and just was overwhelmed for a moment of like, oh my God, I know everybody in this room. Thank you for being here to support me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not getting married, they all supported and loved this idea of like, you know, essentially turning a lemon into some lemonade and making something cool.
I mean, it just seems like if you're with somebody for 8 years and you've already had all these hesitations and you have you're telling me you have so much to work on, this does not seem like a dream situation whatsoever. And I'm just saying, I'm a little older than you. I've been married twice. Mm-hmm. You head into it's like buying a lemon car and thinking it's going to get better with time because, you know, you just keep working on it.
Yeah.
But why?
For so many years, we never had, you know, not even an argument. We were so easy. And it only got challenging once we got engaged. Some stuff just started to come up. And he had recently lost his mom.
Yeah.
Right before we got engaged.
I'm just saying in life, relationships are complicated. And in my experience. 100%. But in my experience, the relationship to be in is the one that is not complicated. I mean, you can work on it forever, but you don't have to, because there might be somebody out there for you where it is effortless and you can just be Natasha.
Yeah.
But you don't have to try to fit a square into a circle and make these commitments if you don't want to.
That's exactly what my whole point has been with this all. And I won't walk down an aisle with somebody until I feel like I am so happy, and that's exactly what I want to be doing.
Yeah,
you know, for a long time, I wasn't even sure if I was the type that wanted to be married or have kids.
Well, you got plenty of time.
I don't know what the future holds.
Step away from the situation, and if it's meant to come back to you, it will.
Yeah,
I mean, that's so old school, but I'm telling you, man. I mean, I see so much hesitation in you.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm trying to just be open to whatever my possibilities are right now.
Good.
I feel like I am in the best space I've ever been in as a person.
You're in a great space. You're beautiful. You're smart. You're touring. You got your shit in a row.
Yeah. Things are starting to really go. So,
you know, let's go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, you guys, I got to wrap it up. One more thing, though, Natasha. Mm-hmm. Second City. So you're an improv actor first?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I loved the parlay into stand-up because of that, because I always enjoyed telling stories, and I realized through improv there used to be shows. I don't know if you've ever seen Ask Cat, where it's like the monologue, then they improvise off of it.
Yeah,
I was in a lot of shows with that structure in Second City.
Interesting.
I would always get cast in these monologue shows because I always had great stories. I always would put myself in ridiculous situations and travel a lot.
Yeah,
travel on a whim, travel with no money.
Yeah,
and I always had something to talk about.
Yeah, it definitely leads to a more exciting life, for
sure. So whenever like I'd be in a crowd and somebody would throw out a suggestion, I always had an amazing story to go with it. And people were like, why don't you do stand-up? And I was like, yeah, I really should do stand-up.
So interesting. So they would shout out a topic, but you're not you're improvising, but it's about true stories.
I would be a monologuist. So I'd come in the front and somebody would shout out a suggestion.
I see.
And I would monologue about it. And then I would step back in and we'd all improvise pieces of the story that I had just monologued.
Yeah, fun. So, and it's a true monologue, but it's true. That's a really great idea.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's a good setup.
Yeah.
And it really sparks a lot of creativity and
makes
your troupe then like afterwards be like, did that really happen to you? It could be a made up story, but I always told true ones.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. It could be made up. I see.
Yeah.
I see. Story Smash is like that in terms of the improv, like, you know, they spin the wheel and whatever
lands
on, they tell a story. So it moves quickly like that, but it has to be true. And the topics are such that you do have a true story about it.
Yeah.
Because the topics are very
vague.
You know, vague. Mm-hmm. Like even vacation. If you've never been on vacation, then that's a story.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Anyway, come down to that sometime. I'll book you on that.
Yeah, no, I would
That'd
love to.
That'd be great. That'd be great. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. You know to follow me on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff at Storyworthy, and you should also be following Natasha Pearl Hansen at NPH Comedy, which in my head, I'm always like thinking NPR.
Neil Patrick Harris? Oh.
No, I'm thinking NPR, you know, but NPH Comedy, everything. Natasha Pearl Hansen is NPH Comedy. And listen, I want to thank the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, KiwiCo is just a great product, and I totally support it. So check them out. And on behalf of the very talented Natasha Pearl Hansen, one more time, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I thank you for being a person that supports people's stories.
Yay, I sure do. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.